Let's look at God's word together. We're going to be in the Gospel of Luke, where we have recorded for us some of the story of Jesus. It's scattered among the Gospels, but his birth here is recorded for us. And if you would just turn in your Bible, if you're using the Pew Bible there, to page 909, you'll be basically in the right spot for this morning's message. So before we get into that, let's just take a moment to ask for God's blessing on his word. His word is not just any other book. It's a book from him to us. Special book that is meant to connect us with his heart, connect us with his goals, his message. The reason why we even exist is found in his word. And so it's a special book, and we don't want to treat it like any other book. So we want to thank him for it and understand what the Spirit of God is speaking to us through his word this morning. So let's just pause and pray and ask him to inform us. God, thank you so much for your word. Thank you for being here with us as we read it, that your Spirit would help to interpret it into our hearts and into our minds so that we can live in the way that you designed us to live. We could live in relationship with you, a relationship filled with love and joy and peace, but also that we can live in relationship with one another in ways that glorify you and bring about more love and joy and peace in this world. So thank you for your purposes. And we pray that as we look at your word this morning, as we try to understand it, that we would receive from you exactly the message that you have for our hearts today. None of us are here by accident. We're here because you purposed it for this day. So be glorified in us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So this morning's message is called Joy to the World. And one of the reasons that we're focusing on it is, yes, we're just about at the climax of this whole Advent season of getting ready for Christmas in our hearts, because that's what this preparation is for, is that we would have our hearts and minds on the right things and not be distracted by the many other things that are out there to distract us, so that we could be enriched, but also that we could bless other people through this season. And so we were having a conversation, me and the guys in my life group, a couple weeks ago or recently, and we discovered something about this period of time that we've been in, this Advent season, sort of since Thanksgiving until now. And it was, not a shock, but it was like a realization, is that this period of time, and even the rest of this winter, is sometimes really hard on people. It's supposed to be such a highlight of our year. You know, everything is about Christmas and feasting and celebrations and carols and presents and all these things. But there's something heavy about it as well. And some of us were admitting that we struggle a little bit to have the amount of joy that we think is appropriate for Christmas, that we're joyful enough when we sing our songs to Jesus, that we're joyful enough when we're visiting with friends and family. Because what can happen is that the feelings of this world, as Pastor Sam said, you know, sometimes you look around at what's going on and in the news and in maybe in our personal lives or in our community, we can get dragged down by those things. And one of the things that we want to watch out for, or I want to watch out for, I'll speak for myself, is that I don't allow those things to turn me into a bit of a Grinch at Christmas. I don't want to be grinchy, right? I want to be joyful. But sometimes it's a struggle. So today, as we think about joy, I don't want it to seem like an unattainable goal, especially for some of us. You know, maybe some of you are naturally joyful, right? You sort of have that, you know, the glass is always half full and everything's wonderful and great every day, you know? But for many people, the glass is often half empty and things are a struggle and not easy. And we don't want to pretend, right? So this time of year, when we should be the most joyful because we're remembering the gift of Christ and we're remembering the next Advent when he returns again, we should be filled with joy. But what happens is we can't always find it. We have to look for it. So this morning, I'd like to explore looking for it with you. As I thought about this a little bit, I began to think about the many different holiday villains that there are. If you think about the Christmas stories that we grew up with, right? In every story, there's like a villain. There's someone who's trying to destroy Christmas or melt Frosty or steal the presents or, you know, right? There's always someone in there. And I think like spiritually, that's also true. I think there's something out there that's trying to steal our joy, that's trying to take away from us the things that Christmas has been given for, the way in which God has shown his love and his joy and his peace to us through the grace of Jesus Christ. So we have the Grinch and we have Mr. Potter from It's a Wonderful Life and we have Ebenezer Scrooge and we have the abominable snowman from Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, and it goes on and on. There's always someone trying to steal the joy of Christmas. My personal favorite when I was a kid was the Burgermeister Meisterburger. Some of you don't even know who the Burgermeister Meisterburger was, but he was a great villain. And then there's Jack Frost and some of the others that they've entertained us with. So as fun as entertaining as these villains are, we don't want them and we don't want to be like them and ruin anybody's Christmas. I'm pretty sure about that. So here's the thing. Let's take some time and discover what it would take for us to be joyful, to step into that joy that God has so generously given to us. Because we have to be careful in this world. We've got pressures. We've got bills. We've got deadlines. We have in-laws. We have miles of traveling to travel. We have trains that break down and planes that don't take off. And we have flat tires and we have, you know, long lines and traffic jams and the high prices of food and the presents. And we have sleepless nights as we're trying to sleep on the pull-out couch or on the blow-up bed, right? There's times when we're just not at our best. And we all know that Christmas should be a joyous time. And for most of the time, it is. But for some, it can be a tough time. It can be a difficult time. And we don't want to just pretend. We don't want to just put on a mask and be disingenuous. We want to be truthful. Because the truth is, some of us can't gather with our family. They're too far away. They weren't able to come this year. They may have already passed and no longer live on this earth with us. There are those who are looking at empty chairs and empty space that was once filled with the joy of their family. Some will spend some time this Christmas for the first time without that loved one that's always been there at Christmas. And our hearts go out to you. For others, it's an issue of maybe you've lost your job or you're underemployed and so there's not enough money to go around and buy the kind of gifts that you would love to buy people, but you know you just can't afford. There's a lot of things that can steal our joy. So the Christmas holiday can be a time of great happiness, but it can also be a time of great struggle. And I think that we can attest that sometimes it's a bit of both. It's a mixture. And let me say, don't blame yourself for that. You're not causing that. Don't blame others either. This is simply part of the human condition. And if we read the Christmas story in the scriptures, we see that everything wasn't perfect for Joseph and Mary. In fact, things weren't going very well at all. And so they went through that first time of Christmas and had to struggle to find a place to even have the baby, to have a little bit of privacy, to have a little bed in a manger to place the baby Jesus in. So these times are normal because we live in a world that is a fallen world. We're not living in heaven right now. We're living in earth. So what can we do about it? When we have both happiness and struggle and pain at the same time, what can we do to hold on to joy? Well, I want to share a couple things this morning. that I think would be helpful. They're helpful for me. I hope they'll be helpful for you. And two main passages of Scripture. One is in Luke, but also we'll look at another passage that the Apostle Paul wrote in Philippians. But in Luke chapter 2, starting in verse 8, I'll just read down through verse 12 so we can kind of hear it in its context. In the same region, the shepherds were staying out in the field and watching the sheep. And then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for look, I proclaim to you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today, in the city of David, a Savior was born for you, who is the Messiah, the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped tightly in cloth and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was a multitude of heavenly hosts with the angel praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest and peace on earth to people that he favors." Did you notice the line that says, "I bring to you good news of great joy that will be for all people"? You know what I think is cool about that? First of all, the news about the Savior is good news, and it's of great joy. It's great news because it demonstrated our Heavenly Father's love for us. Each and every one of us, it says, for all people. His invitation is extended through his Son, Jesus Christ. He invites us to become part of his family. And as Jesus lives his life and does the work that God sent him to do, that is able to be accomplished in such a way that the invitation can go out, that we could sit at God's table one day as full members of his family. We have this table here, and a lot of you who haven't been here during Advent because you're visiting or whatever are saying, "Why is this giant table in the front of the church?" Well, it's here to represent a time to come, a time that Jesus talked about and a time that the scripture tells us about, where in heaven there is going to be a great feast one day, and all of God's family will be there together. Millions upon millions. The scripture says an uncountable amount. You know, difficult to count that high, will be there, not because they earned a place at the table, but because Jesus saved a place at the table for them. He said, "I got a chair for you. I'm going to prepare a place for you, and I'll come back and get you, and we'll go there together," right? So God extends this invitation through his one and only Son, and each and every one of us is invited. I know that sounds too good to be true, but it's true. Look at that sentence again. This is a promise for all the people. This great joy, this good news is for all the people. It doesn't say for some of the people or for few of the people or even most of the people. It says for all the people. See, God intends for the Christmas baby and the salvation that he will bring to be good news and great joy for all the people. That's his intention. And like we said earlier, when we introduced this idea of being invited to the banquet table, they need to respond. They need to say, "Yeah, I'll come." The invitation goes out to all the people, but not everybody comes. Some say, "I'm too busy." Some say, "I'm not interested." Some don't understand the love of God. And that's our job as believers, those who do believe in the love of God, is to help them to understand, to bring them to an understanding of who God is and his love for them. That's our goal. That's one of the purposes that we're here on earth for. He intended for the Messiah, Jesus, to be good news for you, but also for all the people. And because of the Messiah, we can rejoice in his love, his forgiveness, his care for us here on earth. And we can anticipate a heavenly celebration, a celebration with God. No one plans a celebration if there isn't going to be some joy there, if there isn't going to be some laughter there, if there isn't going to be a cake or a feast of some sort. Do any of you plan to have a party and for it to be like a horrible party? Well, let's all get together and be miserable. It's just not anything even in our own human logic that we would do. We're having a party tomorrow night. Everyone come and be really grumpy. We're not having any food. We're just going to sit, stare at each other, and be miserable. Nobody does that. So God, who is love incarnate, God is love, you know, completely full of love, he's planned a celebration which will be full of joy. All the followers of Jesus have a reason to be joyful and to anticipate that, no matter their present circumstances, which is what I want to talk about now. Because Jesus has saved a table for us, and it's in the future. It's one day we will be there at God's table. But in the present, what do we do with our difficult circumstances? Well, the Apostle Paul wrote this passage in Philippians to the Philippian believers in chapter 4. And they were going through some hard times. And I think from this we can gather some joy. He says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say this again, rejoice. Let your graciousness be known to everyone. The Lord is near." Now, you know that name Emmanuel, we sang about it before. It's from the Isaiah passage. Emmanuel means God with us. He couldn't be more near than that, right? If he's with us, he's with us. So I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this, but what I like about this scripture is that it was written from a prison cell. This guy is suffering. This guy has been beaten, and this guy has been shipwrecked, and this guy has had a really hard journey. The writer of it, the Apostle Paul, he wasn't writing this from a seaside resort. He was writing it from a prison cell. This isn't some cheesy postcard that you got that says, "Wish you were here," you know, and they got their feet up and a nice tropical drink in their hands. "Wish you were here." That's not what this is. By the way, if you've ever received one of those postcards from Hawaii or the Caribbean or whatever, which says, "Wish you were here," did you believe it? You may be more naive than you look. And for younger people, a postcard is something we had before Insta and Google. We actually, there was a picture and you put a stamp on it and it went through the mail and then it came to someone's house. They went to a mailbox, a real mailbox, and they opened it and it, so that's what a postcard is, in case you didn't know. Anyway, this isn't one of those. Paul wasn't exactly swimming in the best of circumstances when he wrote us this encouragement to rejoice. It wasn't too long after he wrote this that he was transferred to another Roman dungeon, and eventually he was martyred for his faith in Jesus Christ. And get this, as if prison wasn't bad enough, if you read through his work in the letters that he wrote from prison, there were people outside the prison who were still trying to get him in trouble, which doesn't make any sense to me. He's already in prison, but they were trying to make things worse for him. Talk about kicking a guy when he's down. Right? Poor Paul. And he knew this because he wrote about it. But what was his attitude? Rejoice. Rejoice. We've already talked about how our problems, you know, they don't take a vacation on the holidays. They're still there. I'm not asking you to ignore them. But here's this guy who knows what it's like to be in really difficult circumstances, to have some really heavy stuff going on in his life, and still he's encouraging us to have joy. And he himself must have joy. How? How is this possible? Well, the key might be this. His joy is never found in his circumstances. I'll say that again. His joy is never found in his circumstances. His joy is found in Christ. In Christ alone, we could say. His joy is found in Christ. And that is the secret, really. That's the key. Because Christ's love is constant during whatever circumstances are going on. Through the ups and the downs, he is constant no matter what, good or bad. He's still constant. And when we can focus on Christ and who he is in his faithfulness and constancy, instead of on our circumstances, we can find joy. We can find joy because he has forgiven all our sins. He has saved us a spot in heaven. He's ready for us to join him. See, this is how we get our joy back. We focus back on Christ. And that's what Christmas is really all about. It helps us to get everything in our spiritual lives and in our lives back on Christ. Understanding this is what Christmas is all about. It's not about all that other stuff. It's about knowing God and his grace and mercy that has been extended to us through his one and only Son, Jesus Christ. So let me make something clear, real clear. Again, I'm not saying ignore your problems, your hassles, your hard times, the pain that you might be in, even this morning. Don't ignore that. That doesn't do any good to shove it down, to try to hide it. And it doesn't fool anybody, especially those closest to you, and especially God. He knows what you're going through. The key is the nearness of God. Remember, he is with you. He is with you in that trouble. He is with you in that problem. He has a way of being present with you through his Holy Spirit that can bring you peace and joy. So I want to very quickly just give you three ways. There's many more ways, but three ways to help you bring some joy into your season. If you're struggling in this way, or if you are working with people, living with people who are struggling this way, no matter the circumstances, there is joy to be found in Christmas. There are things that I found even in my own life that can help me, and hopefully they'll help you. So number one, let's look at that name there. Thank God for the Messiah. Notice he mentions the Messiah. He says, today in the city of David, a Savior was born for you, who is the Messiah. Now, sometimes we don't know what that word means. If we did a little quiz right now, some of you would get it wrong, right? So let's redefine, who is the Messiah? Well, Messiah, or another way of saying that is the chosen one. The chosen one. Who was anointed to be the deliverer. He comes from a long line all the way back to King David, and he will save his people from death and sin. That is the Messiah. That's a definition. The entire Old Testament looks forward to the arrival of the Messiah. Well, the Messiah has come. He was born in Bethlehem. Jesus of Nazareth was and is the prophesied Messiah. Jesus reveals himself to be the Messiah, first of all, to the woman at the well in John 4. But throughout the whole New Testament, we see proof that Jesus is the chosen one. The miracles, the testimonies prove that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of the living God. No one can do the things that he's done. The ultimate evidence, however, that Jesus is indeed the promised Messiah, the anointed one of God, is his resurrection from the dead. He rose again from the dead. Without the Messiah, we have no hope, now or for eternity. But with the Messiah, we should have all hope in what he has done and accomplished for us, and the joy that that should place in our hearts as we hold on to that by faith. Hold on to what the scripture says Jesus is and what he has promised to do. And that's number one. Number two is plan to rejoice. Be intentional about enjoying Christmas. Sometimes we get in a grumpy mood and it sort of saps us of energy or creativity. I understand that. But let's get practical. We can ask God for help in this area. Here's a few suggestions. Do the things that you enjoyed in Christmas's past, right? Just sort of remember the highlights of Christmas past and do those things again. Listen to specific music that you like. Bring back the traditions of your youth. If you're all alone, call some of your old friends or your family and talk to them on Christmas. Don't stay isolated, in other words. The point is to be intentional about doing things that help you to relive the joy of Christmas. To relive the things that you enjoyed and that you have in your memory. Or, if those aren't good, so there are some, unfortunately, that your path on Christmas has never been good. It's always been a difficult time. So now's the time to trash your past. Just get rid of it. Don't do any of the things that you used to do. Make a whole new tradition. Find a new way through this season to celebrate. That's only for the brave at heart, but do it if you're that daring. But here ultimately is the key. Again, with the closeness of God, with the nearness of God, pray and involve him in this. There's nothing wrong with asking God to help you enjoy Christmas. It's a simple prayer, which I think he will hear and answer. Because he intended you to have joy by sending Jesus in the first place. So let him help you enjoy it. And lastly, we need to look forward to the excitement of his second coming. By preparing ourselves to remember his first coming, his birth in Bethlehem, we also need to be reminded to prepare ourselves and remember he's coming again. Do you know that he's coming again? And it may be soon. We don't know. But he's coming again. And there's an anticipation in that. One of the great things about Christmas is that it's not the end of the story. Christmas didn't end in the Gospels. I mean, the Bible doesn't end in the Gospels. There's more. There's more prophecy to be fulfilled. There's more excitement in the future. So that's what this table was meant to remind us of. That Jesus is coming again and that God is preparing a great feast in celebration for when we all meet together as family one day. That's the great news. What Jesus came to accomplish on earth through his life, through his death, through his resurrection will finally come to perfect completion someday. And on that great day, he'll set everything else right again. He will make it right. Somehow God will do the miraculous and make things right. There's a lot of things that are wrong, and we could focus on all the wrong things that are going on now, that are going on inside of us or around us. We could focus on that, but let's focus on what God is going to do. He's going to make it all right one day. He's going to change the way that life is experienced. In fact, his description of it in Scripture says, there's no more sorrow there. There is no sadness there. There is no death there. It's a totally different experience. We've never experienced that. Even your birth brought someone pain, most likely your mother, and maybe others. So you were kind of born into pain because of the consequences of sin. But Christ has defeated all that. Christ has changed the future for us. His projection of your forgiveness and your welcome into God's family is real. I want you to look at this passage if you can. It's on page 1101, but it's in the book of Revelation, chapter 19. And I just want to read this for you because this, again, is part of the excitement, and it should be added to our Christmas experience. Christmas can't just be about the past because the past is already past. It's over. It's done, right? Christmas is also about the future. And so let me read for you from the book of Revelation, chapter 19. I'm going to start at the end of verse 6. Hallelujah, because our Lord God, the Almighty, reigns. Not much reaction from you. I'll do it again. Hallelujah, because our Lord God, the Almighty, reigns. Yeah, okay. Let us be glad, verse 7 says, rejoice and give him glory, because the marriage of the Lamb has come. And his bride has prepared herself. Who's his bride? What? The church. Believers from all time. They are the bride of Christ, Scripture teaches us. We are to prepare ourselves for this great day, this marriage of the Lamb. She was given fine linen to wear. You are righteous by the gift of God. You didn't make those clothes that he's going to give you. He made them for you. And they are bright and pure. For the fine linen represents the righteous acts of the saints. And then he said to me, write this down. Blessed are those invited to the marriage feast of the Lamb. You are blessed if you've been invited to the marriage feast of the Lamb. There is no greater blessing to be had as to be invited by Christ into a relationship with God through the forgiveness of your sins. This is the joy of Christmas. This is what Christmas points to. Yes, it points back, but it also points to the future. I truly hope that Jesus will cause the joy that he was born to bring you to bubble up inside of you this Christmas. I pray that you will find reason to celebrate and rejoice what Jesus has done, but what he is also going to do. Get our eyes off of the junk and remember the good stuff. Otherwise, we will be grinchy. We won't be able to find our joy. Now, if you have watched many of the Christmas stories, you'll realize that there's a transformation that takes place in most of them. Scrooge, who was nasty, ends up in the end buying the big turkey and putting Tiny Tim on his shoulder and being transformed, right? And then you have the Grinch, who was stealing everything, bringing everything back and having a wonderful celebration with all of Whoville, right? There's a transformation that can take place at Christmas. And I pray that that transformation has taken place in you and will continue to take place in you, that you will understand the joy of Christmas because Christ has come and Christ is coming again. And what he's done in between is to prepare you. He died on the cross to give you salvation, to give you righteousness, to give you those white robes that you can wear to that party. So don't be left out, or let anyone else miss out on the great joy that God has given us through Jesus Christ. And remember, Jesus told us in Matthew 5, you are the light of the world. So let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. I pray that Jesus will shine on all of us and through all of us this Christmas week, that we would have opportunities to experience great joy ourselves, but also to spread the joy, to others, to help them. Like, yeah, the world looks bad now, but guess what? We have promises of another world, a better world, a one that doesn't have all this junk in it. The Messiah has come and he has done the work to accomplish that, to send out the invitation. Just respond to that invitation. Say, yes, Lord, I want to be there. I know I can't be there on my own. I know I can't earn a place at the table. You earned it for me on the cross. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you so much for what Jesus has done, is doing, and will complete one day. We thank you for the full story of the gospel, that we were sinners in need of a Savior, and you solved that problem by coming yourself in the form of a baby, growing to be a man who lived and then died for us and was risen again by your power. And so, God, we thank you for Christmas. We pray that our own hearts would be stirred, would be filled with joy, would be remembering that you are the Messiah, remembering the things that you have placed in our life, which we can celebrate, and remembering our future place with you at the wedding feast of the Lamb. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Amen.